الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين وصلى اللهم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ربي انتقنا بالهدى وألهمنا بالتقوى السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt that it's due to His kindness and generosity. He provides for us opportunities such as these where we gather together in remembrance of Him tabaraka wa ta'ala. Last week we had discussed the events surrounding the blowing of the trumpet. And we had said that there will be two blowing of the trumpets. The first one that will end all of existence. The second one that will resurrect the existence. There were exceptions that were mentioned, and we discussed that in detail last week. As we also mentioned that the blowing of the trumpet and the events surrounding the two blowing of the trumpets are very vividly described in the Holy Quran, as far as the events that will take place during the blowing of the trumpets and the events that will take place in between the blowing of the trumpets. Yet the actual event of the blowing of the trumpet is something which is still a bit of an anomaly, in the sense that we are not certain whether it will be a real trumpet or not. And we said there are hadith which say both ways. It seems as though we'll have to wait and find out, inshallah. We continue our discussion today. And now we have entered into the Day of Judgment. So we have passed the blowing of the trumpets. Everybody has been resurrected. And we continue our discussion today as far as what will happen surrounding the events of the Day of Judgment. The first point that we'd like to discuss is the length of the Day of Judgment itself. We find that the Holy Quran describes the length of the whole of the Day of Judgment very explicitly in the Holy Quran. However, it gives two dates, or it gives two times. The first verse discusses 50,000 years, while the second verse discusses 1,000 years. So as far as the verse which discusses 50,000 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً. He says, the angels and the spirit ascend to him in a day whose span is 50,000 years. So the verse is very clear as far as the length of the Day of Judgment being 50,000 years. Now some may say that the Day of Judgment itself has not been mentioned in this verse. What has been mentioned is yawm, day. But when we look at the other verses of the Quran which talk about the Day of Judgment, they as well refer to the Day of Judgment in very explicit terms, but as Yom as well. So because of these, our ulama make the link that this is both referring to that particular event. So for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا يَوْمَ تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهْلُ وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِهْنُ. Indeed, they see it to be far off and we see it to be near. The day when the sky will be like molten copper and the mountains like tufts of dyed wool, and no friend will inquire about the welfare of his friend. Obviously, these are some of the sifat or attributes of the Day of Judgment, when nobody will want to be next to one another and the sky and the mountains will be turned into different substances. Other verses of the Quran describe the Day of Judgment as being about 1,000 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يدبر الأمر من السماء إلى الأرض ثم يعرج إليه في يوم كان مقداره ألف سنة مما تعدون. He directs the command from the heaven to the earth, then it ascends towards him in a day whose span is 1,000 years by what you count. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and they ask you to hasten on the punishment, and Allah will by no means fail in His promise. And surely a day with our Lord is 1,000 years of what you number. What is very interesting about these verses is that they talk about the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. He says, Mimma ta'uddun. Mimma ta'uddun is translated as what you number. What that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it will be 1,000 years a year compared to what you experience in your life. So this is how we count a year. He is saying that a day will be equivalent to that 1,000 years, for example. The important point for us here is that how then do we reconcile between these two verses? One says that the day of judgment will be 50,000 years, another one says that it will be 1,000 years. And the best way we can is through a hadith. Obviously, the Quran does not have a verse which specifically reconciles these two dates, but we always look at a hadith to help us down this path. And we find hadith, for example, from Biharul Anwar, volume 7, page 126. Qala Abu Abdullah al-Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salam. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ألا فحاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. He says, take account of yourselves before you are made to take account, or somebody takes account of you. فَإِنَّ فِي الْقِيَامَةِ خَمْسِينَ مَوْقِفًا كُلُّ مَوْقِفْ مِثْلُ أَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ ثُمَّ تَلَى هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. He says, indeed, on the day of judgment, there will be 50 stations set up. In each station, you will be taken account for things that you have done in this life, and each station will take 1,000 years for you to pass through. So based on that, then he said, this is why the day of judgment itself will be 50,000 years. So this is probably the best way that we can reconcile these two verses, in that we will have 50 stations that we will have to pass through on the day of judgment, taking the account of our actions on all of these particular stations. When we discuss next week about Sirat, inshaAllah, it is said that most of these stations, or all of these stations in fact, will be set up on the Sirat, the path that we have to cross to get into heaven, which is almost described, we will describe it next week, inshaAllah, it is described like a bridge between where we are and getting to heaven, and below us is hell. And on this Sirat, it will be the stations that we have to cross over or be examined for. Will this be the same for all creatures, that each day, for even if you are a believer, it will take you about 50,000 years? And we find a hadith which say, no, this is not actually how it is. We have, for example, from Biharul Anwar, volume 7, hadith number 123. وَرَوَىٰ أَبُو سَعِيدِ الْخُضْرِي قَالَ قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا أَطْوَلَ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ. This man by the name of Sa'id al-Khudri asks the Prophet, or it was said to the Prophet, that what a long day this will be. Yeah, like ma atwala hadha al-yawm, like it's an unbelievable how long this day will be. To which he replies, walladhi nafsu Muhammadin biyadi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, innahu la yukhaffafu ala al-mu'min hatta yakunu akhaffa alayhi min salatin maktubatin yusalliha fid dunya. He says that for a believer, he says, the one who possesses my soul, for the believer, it will be a swift reckoning. It will be a very easy reckoning. It will be lighter than reciting a 2-rakat salah on earth. Yeah. So this is how, for a believer who has, in a way, taken account of himself or herself already, and has nothing to show or to be taken account for in the hereafter, it will be like reciting a 2-rakat salah, and they will pass the sirat very easily. But we'll come into that, inshallah, next week. So this is how the Holy Quran describes the length of the Day of Judgment. Now we come to the next important discussion, and that is about the Kitab, the Book of Records. One of the most important beliefs regarding the hereafter is that of the Kitab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very beautifully in Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, verses 13 and 14, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي أُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. We have tied every man's fate around his neck, and we shall produce a book for him on Resurrection Day that he will find spread open. Read your book. Today your soul suffices as your own reckoner, as your own accounter, basically. So this is a belief that we have about the Kitab, that there is no doubt about that. We will all be presented with a book of records. However, before we get into the specific book of records that we have, it is an interesting and important understanding of how the word Kitab is used in the Holy Quran. We find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about Kitab in the Holy Quran, it has many different understandings and many different realities and dimensions to this Kitab. Kitab is basically translated as book, but there is more than one type of book that has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. And obviously they all have a link with one another, so it's important to understand how Kitab is used in the Holy Quran. The first way that Kitab is used, or the highest level you can say of how Kitab is used, is from Surah An-Naml. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِنْ غَائِبَةٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And there is nothing concealed in the heaven and the earth, but it is in a clear, manifest book. Kitab al-Mubin means a book which is clear, a book which is manifest. This clear book, or Kitab al-Mubin, is referring to the Lawh al-Mahfuz. It is referring to also the Ummul Kitab. These names like Ummul Kitab, Lawh al-Mahfuz, or Kitab al-Mubin in this particular circumstance is referring to the same book or the same Kitab at the highest level. This is the highest level of Kitab there is. It is where God first transmitted His knowledge to. Okay, so this is Lawh al-Mahfuz, is the sacred tablet. It is sometimes translated as the tablet which is protected, which contains all of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in reference to the book that has all of the knowledge of what has happened and will happen already recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that there is not a thing that will transpire on this earth except that it has already been recorded in that clear book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, there is not an action that we are going to do, that we have done, that is missing in this book. Now obviously, this brings about questions like, then what is the point of this world? Right? If everything has already been established and written down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the point of going through everything? And the answer to this is quite simple. It is an ugly intellectual answer that we can give. And it is best put as, it is there to produce, we are here to produce the results of God, basically. Yeah, it would be unjust of God straight to, for example, send me to heaven or send me to hell. But He has put me here so that I will produce the results which have already been documented by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An analogy to this would be if I, for example, teach. I'm a teacher, and after teaching a group of students for a year, the teacher will have knowledge about which students will pass their class and which students will fail that class. Yeah, for anybody who is a teacher in any capacity, even in madrasa, you know at the end of the year, this student's not going to pass my class. Yet you will not pass a judgment on them. You will still give them a final examination and let them prove for themselves whether they passed the class or not, even if your knowledge of it was already there. Yeah. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us on this earth for us to produce the results. Now, what we always have to do in understanding of our aqidah in theology is that we have to put God first. So what we mean by that is we take God's ilm, God's knowledge, and we have to be completely content and have certainty that God has no limitations in His knowledge. Right, He knows everything that has happened, everything that will happen, and based on that, then we work everything out to understand why He has done certain things. And this Kitab works in the same way. We have to believe that His knowledge encompasses everything. If it doesn't, He is not God. Right? Once we understand His knowledge encompasses everything, then we try to see what our role is and how we fit into the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is important to note that which has been written about my actions, for example, are written with the knowledge of me doing these actions based on my own free will. Okay? This is another aspect of God's knowledge, meaning that God knew from before that I will come and teach this class today. Yeah? But he also knew that I will come and teach this class based on my own free will. Yeah? Not that he has forced me to come and teach this class. Yeah? You all with me? Yeah? So there can be no doubt about how everything can be written. There can be no doubt about this being made compulsory on us, or we are forced to come here or to do certain actions. There should be no doubt about that whatsoever. Everything that God has known that we are going to do is based on our free will. Okay? If you have questions, write it down so we can come to this point, because you might forget. What's interesting about this book is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, the way we've described, and there are verses, which, and the reason we're going through specific verses is because it highlights the importance of this particular book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded everything meticulously in this book. And he describes how there is not a single event that transpires in the earth except that he knows about it. Yeah, and the verses of this describe it very beautifully. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَأْتِينَ السَّاعَةَ قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْهُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا أَصْغَرُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرُ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And those who disbelieve say, the hour shall not come upon us. Say, yes, by my Lord, the knower of the unseen, it shall certainly come upon you. Not the weight of an atom becomes absent from him in the heavens and the earth, and neither less than that, nor greater, but all is in a clear book. Meaning that everything that a person does, every step that he takes, every breath that he takes, has been recorded in this Kitab al-Mubin. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another very beautiful verse, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Again, the same Kitab al-Mubin is constantly used to describe this ultimate, clear, manifest book. Allah says, and there is no animal in the earth. The word is used as dabba. Dabba is not necessarily referring to four-legged animals. Dabba is any creature who stomps or walks on the earth, right? So this refers to us. In a way, it also refers to the fish who swim in the sea, basically. I mean, it just refers to every creature in general, though it's been translated as animal. You can say, I guess we are animals as well, but this is how this verse is particularly translating it. And there is no animal in the earth, but on Allah is the sustenance of it, and He knows its resting place and its depository. All things are in Kitab al-Mubin. The very famous verse that we also recite in Salatul Ghufayla as well talks about this as well. And this verse goes into a lot of very beautiful detail, and he says, how no leaf falls on the earth except the knowledge of which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says in Suratul An'am, I don't think it is here, Suratul An'am, verse 59, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And with him are the keys of the unseen treasures. None knows about them but he, and he knows what is in the land and the sea. And there falls not a leaf, but he knows it, nor a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything green nor dry, but it's all in a clear book. What is very interesting about this clear book or Kitab al-Mubin that we've described, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described it, where nothing is missing, everything is documented. Our scholars say that even our du'as, our supplications to God, have already been calculated in that book and have been put. Yeah? Before, obviously, we have made these supplications. Because that's another very important point that we can raise then, right? Then what's the point of du'a? Can't du'a change our destiny? As far as this book is concerned, this Kitab al-Mubin, nothing escapes this book. Everything has already been documented in this book, and thus even our dua, the supplications that we do, have already been calculated for in this book, and the results have already been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the highest level of kitab which is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Kitab then is also referred to as the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ha Mim wal Kitabil Mubin. Inna ja'alnahu Quranan Arabiyan la'allakum ta'qilun wa innahu fi ummil kitab ladaina la'aliyyun hakim. I swear by the book that makes things clear, surely we have made it an Arabic Quran. This is where Kitab al-Mubin here, some scholars say, it is referring to in this particular verse to the Holy Quran. Because the very next verse says we have made it into the Arabic Quran. The Kitab in Lawh al-Mahfuz, it may be in Arabic, it may not be. It may not even be in any language. It is just another description of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? So it's very important for us to understand and differentiate those two. There is a third, or there is a level between these two levels, which is not necessarily mentioned in the Quran, but we get a hint of it from a hadith. And I'd like, and this is a very important understanding in the sense that how the Quran that we have today between our hands and that which was brought down to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, how it came from this ultimate book, right? What we understand is this knowledge of God was first transmitted to this Lawh al-Mahfuz. After that, we did not have the capability or the capacity to understand that which was in Lawh al-Mahfuz. It had to be brought down in a simpler form for us to understand. But between this simpler form, which is the Quran in our hand, there was an intermediate realm, you can say, where the Quran was first transmitted. And this is known as the second stage of revelation. The Holy Quran had three stages of revelation. The first, it went to Lawh al-Mahfuz. The second stage, from the guarded tablet, God transmitted the Quran to a more accessible location in the earthly heaven, to a place called Al-Baytul Izzah, yeah, which is known as the abode of honor, or the abode of immortality, Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur. Many scholars believe that this abode, this Bayt al-Ma'mur or Bayt al-Izzah, is actually referring to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And this is why we can then reconcile between the night of Qadr and the night of Ba'tha. Okay, the night of Qadr, as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ أَلَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنَ, the month of Ramadan in which the entire Qur'an was revealed. Now, Al-Ba'tha was the night of commission, wasn't it? The night when the Prophet became the Prophet, was announced that you are now the Prophet. And the first verses of the Qur'an were revealed on the night of Ba'tha. The night of Ba'tha was in Rajab. The night of Laylatul Qadr is in Shahru Ramadan. And Shahru Ramadan comes after Rajab, right? So when God says, I have revealed the Quran in the night of in Shahru Ramadan, then how do we reconcile that with the first verses already being revealed in the night of Ba'tha? You understand there's a problem here. And how we reconcile this is through, there's a hadith which is very beautiful. It comes from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he was asked, the Quran was revealed within a span of 20 years. Then why did God say it was all revealed in the month of Ramadan? He replied that the Quran was revealed in one instant into the abode of immortality on the night of Qadr. And then subsequently over the course of 20 or 23 years, it was revealed to the Prophet one by one. Yeah. So does that make sense? You all with me? Yeah? You better get it. My madrasa students got it, yeah? So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, that there had to be an intermediate realm. So in this Baytul Izzah, yani the heart of the Prophet, the message of the Quran was revealed. Not the verses like we see it being revealed, not with the harakat, none of these things. The message of the entire content of the Quran was put in the heart of the Prophet. And then when the time came for gradual revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Angel Jibreel to pick that particular verse and give it to the Prophet to say it. Yeah, this is how we reconcile between these two. And in fact, then our scholars also say that it is most likely that this transmission of the entire Quran into the abode of immortality likely happened before the 40th year of the Prophet's life. Yeah? That means this night of Qadr that he's referring to could have been a couple of years before that, before even he was formally announced as the Prophet of God. Again, there is no proof of this. Yeah, there's no proof of when this, because the Quran doesn't necessarily mention the night of Qadr. We know when this night of Qadr happened. We know that Ba'tha began in 40th year of the Prophet's life. When Allah says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil Qadr," there's never a year given to that. Yeah, so we are to assume then that it is probably before, so that when the first verses did come down, it came down and transmitted from Baytul Izzah to the Prophet. Yeah, does that make sense? Does that make sense? If not, we can discuss it after, inshallah. So then, the second way the kitab is mentioned is the Holy Quran that is between our hands. The third way the Quran is referring to kitab is referring to the book of actions of human beings. So this is what we are specifically want to discuss when it comes to the night, to the day of judgment. Now, there are two types of kitab of actions. Okay. The first one is the collective book of our nation. All right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَتَرَى كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدْعَى إِلَىٰ كِتَابِهَا الْيَوْمَ يُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ هَذَا كِتَابُنَا يَنْتِقُ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّا كُنَّا نَسْتَنْسِخْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And you shall see every nation kneeling down. Every nation shall be called to its book. Today you shall be rewarded for what you did. This is our book that speaks against you with justice. Surely we wrote what you did. Now this is hinting or referring to a different type of book of actions. This is a more collective, you can say, book of actions based on each ummah or each nation. Our nation, spanned over 1400 years now, will collectively be called to see what we did with the Prophet's message, what we did with justice towards mankind and so on and so forth. The other type of book is the individual book of our actions. Yeah, this is what we discussed earlier in the verses of Surah Al-Isra, verses 13 and 14. We have tied every man's fate around his neck. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we already read this verse, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Yeah? So this is that book of action that I as an individual have done, which will be presented to me on the day of judgment. Now, as far as this book is concerned, again, the same question that comes up or that came up with the blowing of the trumpet arises again. And that is that, is it really a book? Yeah, I mean, then when we discuss it, we come to a realization that it's not really a book, right? And the reason why God uses, subhanahu wa ta'ala, uses the word kitab is because this is the closest thing to our mind that will make us understand that things are being written down. Yeah, that our actions are being captured and we will be reminded, you can say, of our actions. Now, if it turns out to be a book, it's a book. But again, I believe it is just a simile which is being used for us to understand and to draw a picture of what is really going to be presented to us or what is really happening. What we are told that in this book, nothing is missed. Yeah, so then we're talking about the specific book of human record. Nothing is missed at all. My thoughts are captured, my actions are captured, and as we will discuss, it's very beautiful. To be honest, it's quite scary, but it's very beautiful what type of book Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here. Our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, says, Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, that when this book is presented to us, everything that we have done in the course of our lives will become fresh. Yeah? Like we have done it right then in front of God. This is amazing in the sense that if you were to ask what we have done 5 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe even less than that, maybe a week ago, it would be very fuzzy for us as far as what we have done to every action we're talking about, right? Sometimes we do things out of habits that we don't realize what we have done necessarily. But on that day, every footstep we have taken will become fresh in front of our eyes. And we can imagine then that how embarrassing it will be for us on that day. You find traditions or explanations that people will want to die of embarrassment standing in front of God on that particular day, right? I think we can understand this, that if somebody were to find out our own dirty secrets, we would die of embarrassment to them. Now imagine we're standing in front of God and everything has been laid open. The verse of the Quran is very beautiful in this. It says, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. In the book of deeds shall be placed, then you will see the guilty fearing from what is in it. And they will say, ah, woe to us. What a book is this? What kind of book is this? It does not omit a small action nor a great one, but numbers them all. And what they had done, they shall find present there, and your Lord does not deal unjustly with anyone. This particular line, وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا, you shall find it present, is referring to what we will talk about next, and that is the incarnation of our actions, the manifestation of our actions. So when he is talking about it will be present in front of us, it will be present in not a written form or not a picture form. Yeah, it will be present, literally present in front of us, every action that we do in its real manifestation. The real ugliness of evil will manifest itself on that day, and we'll talk about that inshallah in the next section. What we understand in further detail is that this is not a word written book, rather it is an action captured book. Yeah. So my action that I have done is being captured and recorded, not necessarily what we mean by action captured book is that it captures the meaning and the consequences of my action, right? So it's not just that it captures the action itself. It's what were the results of that action is what this book captures. Yeah? So it's very intricate, and what the one of the best ways to describe it is that it captures the every last ripple effect of my action. Yeah. You know the ripple effect. If you throw a stone into a calm lake, for example, how it ripples, and it may even ripple throughout. The actions that we do have ripple effects, right? So today, for example, na'udhu billah, if I say something to you which is untrue and you take my word for it and you begin to act on that untrue statement, I may misguide you completely. So I will not only be taken to task for what I said, I will be taken to task for the effect and the consequences that my statement had. Yeah, I mean, this is why we talk about thawabul jariyah. Yeah, that if I help towards building a mosque and then everything good that is done in that mosque, I will get a piece of that as well, because it is the results of that action, right? And this is why our book of records continuously changes. Because if that change or that consequence of my action resulted 10 years from now, then the action itself needs to be changed to reflect the consequences of that action that happened 10 years later, right? And this is why we have to be very careful of our actions, right? This is why we are told, for example, that hadith that we read when we did the Tawalla and Tabarra series, in that a human being will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment and will be presented with blood, right, in a cup, and says, this is your share of the murder that you committed. And he would say, I didn't commit any murder. And the angel will, or it will be told to him that you said something which in effect resulted to someone's death, though it was not instantaneous, it was far removed, but it resulted in someone's innocent death. And now you are responsible because of that statement that you made. And we are especially need to be cautious of this in this day and age that we live in, where things can go viral, things can go on the internet, things can be easily publicized, and somebody innocent in a very remote land can be killed because of my not thinking things through properly, right? This is all part of that ripple effect, and this is why God says in Surah Yasin very beautifully, "Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mauta wa naktubu ma qaddamu wa atharahum." Yeah, he says that surely we give life to the dead and we write down what they have sent before and their footprints. Footprints are what? Athar, what we have left behind, the result of the actions that we have done. Yeah, so it's very important that we understand that every action that we do is being recorded. And thus, what we understand then is that the system of recording which is taking place is a very complex system. Yeah? It's not how we envision, for example, an angel just writes down, today Jafar went to mosque, today Jafar did. These angels have to have proper knowledge about the system of human interaction. Yeah? So these angels must be very gifted in what they do. And there are so many verses which talk about the greatness of these angels, for example, right? So Allah, for example, subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Nay, but you give the lie to the judgment day, and most surely there are keepers over you, honorable recorders. They know what you do." Yeah? Yani it is not hidden what you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kalla bal yukadhibuna bid-deen wa inna alaykum lahafidheen kiraman katibin." Honorable recorders. Look at how God describes these angels who are recording our actions. He gives them this title of being honorable, right? And he says then, يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. In another verse, God says, إِنَّ رُسُلَنَا يَكْتُبُونَ مَا تَمْكُرُونَ. Allah says, I don't think this verse is here. He says, this is in Surah number 10, verse 21. Surely our messengers write down what you plan. So it's not just what we do. They are writing down even what we plan, what we plot. Yamkurun is the word, makar, right? So what we plot. In another verse, God says, or do they think that we do not hear what they conceal in their secret discourses? Our messengers with them write everything down. On the day when Allah will raise them up all together, then inform them of what they did. Allah has recorded it while they have forgotten it, and Allah is a witness to all things. And this is where we understand the need of two angels, right? Because good and evil cannot mix with one another. They are two separate altogether entities in itself. One angel cannot take both of these together. So one angel is busy recording only the good, and one angel is busy recording only the bad and the effects of that bad that have happened. So this is a very interesting understanding that we get of this kitab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to present to us on the day of judgment. Another reality about the kitab is how it will be presented to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how that in some of us will be given our kitab in our right hands, and others will be given our kitab in our left hands, or certain verses describe it as behind our backs. This is just in a way a metaphor, right meaning good, left meaning bad, right? Doesn't mean left-handed people are bad, but is this describing in a metaphorical sense how these books will be given to us? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clear on this. He says, "Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. Fa'amma man utiya kitabahu biyaminihi fasawfa yuhasabu hisaban yasira wa yanqalibu ila ahlihi masrura. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا وَيَسْلَى سَعِيرًا." O man, surely you must strive to attain to your Lord, a hard striving until you meet Him. It's a very beautiful verse. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you have to work in this life. Yeah, you have to strive towards God if you want to attain anything. We're not going to attain anything, subhanAllah, just by sitting and doing nothing. Yeah? Even if we're believers. Even if we're believers, we may get into paradise, inshallah. But God wants us to strive to Him. Yeah, work hard to get to Him. This is the realm of working. We have to really understand that. And strive for it. And then he says, then as to him who is given his book in his right hand, he shall be reckoned with by an easy reckoning, and he shall go back to his people joyful. And as to him who is given his book behind his back, he shall call for perdition and enter into burning fire. In another verse, God says, remember the day when we shall carry every people with their imam. Then whoever is given his book in his right hand, these shall read their book, and they shall be dealt with should not be dealt with unjustly. And whoever is blind in this, he shall also be blind in the hereafter. In another verse, God says, and we do not lay on any soul a burden except to the extent of its ability. And with us is a book which speaks the truth, and they shall be deal with unjustly. And it shall not be dealt with. I keep forgetting this not. There's another verse which is very beautiful, and I want to just, it's from Surah number 69. It's a very poetic series of verses, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةٌ فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَيَقُولُ هَا أُمُقْرَأُوا كِتَابِيَا إِنِّي ذَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَا فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ في جنة عالية قطوفها دانية كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما أسلفتم في الأيام الخالية وأما من أوتي كتابه بشماله فيقول يا ليتني لم أوت كتابيا ولم أدر ما حسابيا يا ليتها كانت القاضية ما أغنى عني ماليا هلك عني سلطانيا خذوه فغلوه.
Subhanallah. He says, on that day you shall be exposed to view. No secret of yours shall remain hidden. Then as for him who is given his book in his right hand, he will say, Lo, read my book. Surely I knew that I shall meet my account. Subhanallah. So he shall be in a life of pleasure in a lofty garden, the fruits of which are near at hand. Eat and drink pleasantly for what you did beforehand in the days gone by. And as for him who is given his book in his left hand, he shall say, Oh, would that my book had never been given to me, and I had not known what my account was. Oh, would it that had made an end of me. My wealth has availed me nothing. My authority is gone away from me. Lay hold on him, then put a chain on him. Very beautiful set of verses. And it goes back again to the same reality that we've been talking about, from Barzakh to when we will be raised again on the day of resurrection. Before we reach our final destination, our destination will be known to us. Yeah, in Barzakh we will know where we're going. Once we're resurrected, we will know where we're going. And once our book is given to us. Now the book is given to us, we have not yet passed Sirat, we have not yet gone to Mizan, we've just been presented our book, right? But we will know. And this is where God makes it very clear that people who are given to it on their right hand will run to have this book been read. And says, God, read it. Yeah, I've been waiting for this day. Subhanallah. Yeah, but those who are not will do whatever it can to not take that accounting, right? To not go. You always see this, like those who are guilty will always be very slow to go up for their accounting. Yeah, with their head down, knowing that the time has come. But for those who have nothing to hide, will go very beautifully to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next section is talking about the incarnation of actions. What this means, or this is known as tajassumul a'mal. Yeah, tajassum comes from the word jism, meaning like a body, and a'mal, that our actions will be made into bodies, for example, out of a lack of a very bad Arabic translation. Tajassum, the incarnation of our actions. The actions that we have or that we do have two realities to them. There's the existence or the reality or the of it in this life, and the reality of it in the next realm or in the akhirah. The actions that we do, for example, on earth, like the salah that we recite, the fasting that we do, the hajj, the zakat, everything that we do in this particular realm, they don't necessarily have an existence per se. It is merely what I see of that action.
That's the existence that we can see of it in this world, right? If I give sadaqah, I don't see anything else besides me giving that sadaqah. This is because the existence or the real reality of that action cannot be seen in this world. But when it comes to the hereafter, that exact action that I have done is really manifested itself into something very beautiful or something very ugly, depending on what that action that I did was. In the realm of barzakh, it is there already, like we discussed in barzakh, that our actions are manifested. However, it is in a very lower form. Again, the form that can be handled in the realm of barzakh. A lot of these realities are changed and are gradually increasing and progressing because of the realm of existence itself, and what that realm of existence can handle and manifest, right? In this realm, we are limited with gravity and matter and all of these things. In barzakh, it is less, no matter. But in the akhirah, it is a completely different reality. No eyes have seen it, no ears have heard of it, right? So it is something that is difficult to describe because we can't comprehend it, really. But our actions will be completely manifested in a manner that it will be by our side, literally. It will be our companion, whatever we have done, until the end, until we enter heaven or go to hell. And maybe even if there are good actions, there'll be good companions for us in Jannah, inshallah. Or if it is bad action, maybe they will accompany them in that next realm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this very beautifully in the Quran in numerous verses. He says, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. On that day, every soul shall find present what it had done of good and what it has done of evil. Again, this very word, hadira, present, yeah, it's not talking about it will be told to us. No, it will be present, right? God has very explicitly mentioned this concept that it will be present and it will be in front of us. What it has done of good and what it has done of evil. It shall wish that between it and the evil there were a long duration of time. And Allah makes you be cautious of retribution from Himself, and Allah is the compassionate to His servant. In another verse, God says, and whatever of good you send on beforehand for yourselves, you will find it with Allah. And that is the best and greatest in reward. And ask for forgiveness of Allah. Surely Allah is forgiving and merciful. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. Surely we have warned you of a chastisement near at hand, the day when man shall see with his two hands what his two hands have sent before. Very explicit, right? We're not playing on words to try and prove this point. God has said it, that look, you will see what you have done, the real reality of what you have done. And the unbeliever shall say, oh, would that I were dust, turaba. In another verse, God says, on that day man shall come forth in sundry bodies that they may be shown their work. So he who has done an atom's weight of good shall see it, and he who has done an atom's weight of evil shall see it. وَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. You will see it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described it very clearly. When we look at hadith on this particular subject, we find even more description and more detail about the type of actions, basically. So for example, in Al-Kafi, volume 2, page 332, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلِ مُحَمَّدْ اتَّقُوا الظُّلْمَ فَإِنَّهُ ظُلُمَاتْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, be cautious of oppression because it will result in darkness, or it will be manifested as darkness for you on the Day of Judgment, right? That means by oppressing,
You will lose the nur on the day of judgment. In another hadith, and found in Wasail al-Shia, volume 8, page 145, our sixth Imam alayhi salam says, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ لَجِبْرَيْلِ إِذْنِي فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِشْمَ شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَأَحْبِبْ مَا شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ وَأَعْمَلْ مَا شِئْتْ فَإِنَّكَ مُلَاقِيهِ.
Very beautiful. He says to him, the Prophet says to Angel Jibreel, Idhni. Idhni is that give me maw'idha, give me advice, warning, something to change my ways. You can say for us that would be the meaning of it. The Quran is maw'idha, kitab al-maw'idha, advice given to us by God as something to change our lives. So Angel says to him, Ya Rasulullah, live the way you want, because soon you will die. Yeah, فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتْ. And love what you want, for surely you will be separated from it. And act the way you want, for surely you will meet it. Yeah, you will be resurrected with it. So it's very clear that whatever we act upon, we will be resurrected in it. There's another hadith which actually describes it in greater detail by specificness. In Al-Kafi, volume 2, page 190. It's a lengthy hadith. I'll just read it in English. The hadith says that when a believer will be resurrected, from our sixth Imam alayhi salam, who says, إِذَا بَعَثَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنْ قَبْرِهِ وَخَرَجَ مَعَهُ مِثَالٌ. He says that when a believer is resurrected from the Day of Judgment, there will be somebody who will be resurrected with him. And that person will accompany him throughout, constantly cheering him up or her up, right? Saying, don't worry, you have done good, you are waiting goodness. And this person will accompany him all the way into heaven. And when he turns back and says, who are you? He says, I'm the manifestation of the actions that you used to do on this world. And because you did good actions, I'm here to give you good advice, basically. So from this hadith again, we are told that whatever we have done will be manifested. There's two points that are connected with the incarnation of actions, or our kitab per se. Some will be saved from the embarrassment of having to pronounce or go through what is in their book. And this is through the process of what is known as takfir, expiation. Not takfir like we know it today, yeah? But expiation, takfir in its original sense comes from the word kafara. Kafara means to hide, right? So takfir means to hide that which you have done, okay? In its original lughawi or linguistic sense. So here, this is the process of expiation, or better, in another word, penitence. Through God's mercy, our sins will be wiped out as if we have not done anything. So when that kitab is opened up, out of the mercy of God, we will find nothing but goodness in that book. God, for example, has promised us that if we avoid major sins, He subhanahu wa ta'ala will absolve us of the minor sins. In tajtanibu kabaira matun hauna anhu nukaffir ankum sayyatikum wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. And keep up... No, this is not it. If you shun the greatest sins... This is from Surah An-Nisa, surah number 4, verse 31. This is not the right verse of what I just read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, verse 31, if you shun the great sins which you are forbidden, we will do away with your small sins and cause you to enter an honorable place of entering. Pretty cool promise by God. Yeah, that if you avoid the big, I will ignore the small. Yeah, because none of us can live a life without committing sin, even because we don't know what small sins really we are committing. Hopefully we know. But God has promised that He will wipe these out from us if we can avoid the major sins. In another verse, God talks about the praying of five times a day is hasanat, that washes the records of our sins. And keep up prayers in the two parts of the day and in the first hours of the night. Surely good deeds take away evil deeds. And this is a reminder for the mindful. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. In another verse, again, God describes this, and for those who believe and do good, we will most certainly do away with their evil deeds, and we most certainly reward them the best of what they did. So what Allah will do away with the worst of what they did and give Him their reward for the best of what they do. On that day that He will gather you for the day of gathering, that is the day of loss and gain. And whoever believes in Allah and does good, He will remove from him his evil and cause him to enter gardens beneath which rivers flow, to abide therein forever. This is the great achievement. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really describing a process of mercy for us. In these series of verses, where there is a possibility, inshallah, for good people, for believers who have done things which are wrong, to not have to be embarrassed in front of God. God doesn't want to throw us in hell, nor does God want to embarrass us. So these are a series of steps that God has put almost into effect, you can say, to save us that embarrassment on that day. But of course, as we've said, this is really up to us, right? How much work I am willing to put in this life for me to have that. It's great to rely upon the mercy of God and all of these things, but if our actions are contradictory to that, then we will be judged differently. On the other hand, God also discusses that the opposite will happen or can happen, that good acts are annihilated and wiped out. This is called the process of ihbat. So takfir and ihbat are two concepts which have been mentioned in the Quran, which talk about the opposites happening. And this is where, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions good deeds turned into scattered dust, right? Because of the pleasure or the attachment that we had to this particular world of dunya and aiming for this dunya itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And whoever of you turns back from his religion, then he dies while an unbeliever. These it is whose work shall go for nothing in this world and in the hereafter, and they are the inmates of the fire. Whoever desires this world's life and its finery, we will pay them in full their deeds therein, and they shall not be made to suffer loss in respect to them. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, look at what God is saying. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّ إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. You will not lose what you have done. So if you go after dunya, you will be given dunya to its full. Yeah, this is promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are they for whom there is nothing but fire in the hereafter. You have been paid back in full for your actions in this life. In the hereafter, there is nothing for you. And what they wrought in it shall go for nothing, and vain is what they do. The parable of those who disbelieve in their Lord, their actions are like ashes on which the wind blows hard on a stormy day. They shall not have power over anything out of what they have earned. This is the great error. And of course, the last verse, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger, and do not make your deeds of no effect. There's another verse which is similar, which talks about haba'an mansura, where your actions are scattered like dust. And there is a hadith from our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. When he explains that verse, he says these are people who, when the fadail of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was mentioned, they denied his fadail. Yeah, they said he can't have done something like this. Because of that approach or understanding of him, the actions that they had done had no value. Why? Because they didn't have the key component of wilaya. in their action by denying the status, for example, of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So this is where we end today. Insha'Allah, next week I believe we talk about Al-Mizan, the balance scale. We talk about Sirat, and there's one more, I think it is Liqa'ullah, the meeting with God. And next week is the fifth week, I think, right? So I think Liqa'ullah is in the sixth week. We're still, we'll talk about it, I guess, later. Wa akhiru da'wan and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi al-tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.